Acts chapter 10, verses 30-43. It says, then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message of God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. Bless you. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. And all the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Brothers and sisters, I am so glad today is Easter Sunday. I'm especially glad this year for Easter because it seems like we're starting to warm up outside. I'm tired of the cold, and I know some of y'all know that I grew up in Buffalo, and I'm tired of y'all saying, well, you ought to be used to the cold. I might be used to it. That doesn't mean I like it. I'm ready for it to get hot. I'm ready for some warm weather. I'm ready for some more sunshine. I'm ready for the grass to turn green for a couple of months till it hits about June, and then it turns brown because we have a drought. You gotta love Ohio. I make no secret of the fact that I love this holiday because usually it brings out the best in us. Church attendance is usually higher. The colors of Easter are normally brighter. The signs of spring are normally more pronounced. Now, I understand that this excitement might be limited to areas where the seasons are more pronounced. I don't know how this day is looked upon in say, San Diego with their 75-degree year-round weather, or So let me back away from the attraction of this day just being about good weather. There must be another reason to be so excited. I like bright clothing, but there must be another reason to be excited. I love it when there's a lot of people in this auditorium, but there must be another reason. I won't hold you until the end of the sermon to tell you that I am excited this morning because Jesus Christ is alive. And because he is alive, I have life, and you have life. And because he is alive, I have hope, and you have hope. And because he is alive, my path is clear and your path is clearer. Because he is alive, my strength can be renewed and your strength can be renewed. Because he is alive, our collective experience is much livelier. I testify today that Jesus Christ was born and took on flesh. I testify today that Jesus lived on this earth for about 33 years. I testify that his walk on earth was full of humble ministry, performed for the greatest and for the least. And I testify that Jesus Christ, an innocent man, was falsely accused and killed by crucifixion. And I testify that this Jesus who died on a cross and was buried in a tomb was raised to life, and he is living forevermore. Life. You see, that's what we're really talking about this morning. Much to the chagrin of the evil one, I might add. You see, ever since the beginning of time, the evil one has been on an all-out attack on life. Recall the scene in the garden from Genesis chapter 3. Remember this story? Adam and Eve have been created. God has created the heavens and the earth. And we get this scene and we get this description in chapter 3. It says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat from the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. You will not surely die,' the serpent said." He was lying. He knew that they would die. And do you see that from the very beginning, what Satan has wanted for mankind is death and destruction? The serpent knew that sin would lead to death. And there began the evil one's attempt to destroy mankind through defeat over and over and over and over. But what we see in the descriptions and all the stories of the Bible is that although he had intent to kill, to defeat, and destroy, life always was victorious. You see, in simultaneous pursuit of mankind's destiny was the grace and love of God. Do you believe that? The serpent wanted Adam and Eve dead, but God's grace kept them alive, and God made provision for them. And God would use them as the mother and father of mankind to be the line by which a Savior would eventually come and redeem mankind back to God. And the evil one would try his best to stop it. I mean, just think about it. Just take a quick glance through the Old Testament and all the stories of Scripture. When you look at the lineage of Jesus Christ, we see sin and death trying to kill God's plan. I mean, look, in the days of Noah, the earth had become so evil that God was sorry that he had ever made mankind. But he chose Noah and family to build this ark, this boat, and eight people went into that ark, and even though everyone else were destroyed, eight people lived. You see, sin tried to come in and steal and kill and death. But God overcame it with life. Look at the story. When you look at the story of Israel, a nation, a small nation, but was growing into a great nation, and how they were eventually in oppression in Egypt and slavery and in despair. And I think Satan thought that, if I keep them there long enough, I'll kill them. I'll choke them out. They'll die and the lineage of Christ will be destroyed. But we know the story different, don't we? We know that God delivered these people and gave them life. I mean, look at some of the heroes of the Old Testament, like David. David was a great man. The book of Acts, Stephen preaching said that David was a man after God's own heart. But when you look at the sordid details of David's story, you see a man who was deeply flawed, who had everything that he wanted, but he wanted more. He even wanted other people's property and other people's family and wives. Surely, if Jesus was going to come through this lineage of King David, Satan would think, hey, if I destroy this man with sin, it won't happen. But we know the story different, don't we? Because we know that God redeemed David. David cried out to God and asked for forgiveness. He came with a broken spirit, a contrite heart. And the result was life. Then again, after David, and you look at all the kings, the kings of Israel, some were evil, some were good, but most were evil. Over and over again, you see these kings just doing despicable things, turning the people to worship other gods and doing despicable things, even to the point where people were sacrificing their own children in the fire. God had enough of that stuff. They were in oppression again. I think Satan was thinking, if we keep them in oppression long enough, if we make these Babylonians hard and these Assyrians hard, we'll kill Israel and we'll destroy God's plan to bring this Savior. But we know the story different, don't we? Because God delivered those people out of that oppression, and the end result was life. Do you see Satan trying to bring death? But death always seems to be defeated by grace and life. You know, I sometimes wonder how Satan felt when they were beating Jesus. I wonder if he was high-fiving the demons and the agents of evil. I wonder how he felt when we gather together and we call it Good Friday. But I wonder how Satan felt when Jesus was breathing his last, when there was no more life. I wonder if he said in a loud shout, "I have finally done it. No more grace, no more life. My plan has worked." Well, I guess we all get to have our 15 minutes sometimes, don't we? Or in Satan's case, he had 3 days. Because after 3 days, Satan found out again that death would always cower to life. And I'm here to testify that because Christ lives, death doesn't have to have a hold on us. Because Christ lives, we can be free. Because Christ lives, we can face tomorrow with all it might bring, good, bad, and the terrible and ugly. You see, Christ's resurrection validates God's claim of ultimate sovereignty of this universe. Christ's resurrection validates the story of God and his desire to bring life. I mean, true life to mankind, to every woman, to every man, to every child of every culture, of every stripe, of every nation. Did you hear the Apostle Peter in the reading I read earlier when he said, "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right." You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of the peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. God's way is not exclusive to any race, to any culture, or to any location. God's love and grace is for all, and the life he offers is for all. Now, Peter was learning that he, being a Jew, was in the house of a non-Jew, and he was learning, and he was beginning to accept this idea that God's love and grace was not exclusive to the Jews, but it was for everybody, Jews and non-Jews, Gentiles, black folk, white folk, yellow folk. The gospel of Christ, the grace of God, his life is for all. God is no respecter of person. I don't care where you've come from today. I don't care what part of the street you live on. I don't care what type of sin you have in your life. I don't care what type of issue you have in your life. I don't care what type of problem is holding you down. God's grace and life has been offered to all of us regardless. Everyone is a candidate to be saved by Jesus from the grips of death, being controlled by the devil. Peter continues this sermon in the house of Cornelius, and he says, "You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him." Now, church, this morning, I do not want you to miss what is coming next. Listen to the rest of Peter's sermon. "We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Now, while the resurrection has been conceded by many as a historical fact, still many doubt the event took place. And while there were some who ate and drank with Jesus after his resurrection, there were many who didn't. Peter was there, and others were there to speak and testify about what they saw and touched and what they heard. Now, those testimonies carry a lot of weight. That for some was the concrete proof that they needed. We live in a world where people want proof. And guess what? When it comes to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I, Dion Frazier, I do not have proof. But I do have testimony. And you have testimony. And you have testimony. And you have testimony. And you and you and you and you and you and you too have testimony. Where we lack proof, we have testimony. So, church, this Resurrection Sunday, we need to be transformed into a people who is willing to share their testimony. Let this be the day that I choose to convince someone about the power of God, not by proof, but by testimony. You see, we were once dead in our sins. You can say amen if you want to. But God raised us to life through the resurrection power of his son, Jesus. Church, that's testimony. Some of us were living in a state of unconsciousness, unable to feel. We were numb. But because of the resurrection, we now feel and have sensitivities that power and fuel our relationships. Church, that's testimony. Some of us used to be selfish and completely concerned only about ourselves. But Jesus' death and resurrection taught us so much about sacrifice and ministry and serving one another. And thus we have become servants in the very mind and mold of Jesus Christ. Church, that's testimony. Some of us were gripped by fear of the unknown, fear of death. But now, because of the resurrection, we declare victory in the face of death. Church, that is testimony. What if we fully understood that the resurrection of Jesus Christ has robbed death of its power and influence over people who have chosen life? And we are included with those with whom John spoke of in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, starting at verse number 10, where John says, "Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down." Now listen. "They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their church," say it with me, "testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death." Do you see once again death cowering to the resurrection reality? Death cowers to faith in God. And that's my testimony. What's your testimony? Now, I had an idea that in class today, Jay had shared with me earlier in the week that he wanted people to share their story. But I've been in classes before where we've asked people to share their story. and two people share their stories, and then a couple crickets start sharing their stories, you know. You know, no one says anything, right? There's something special happening today where one after one, where people were just sharing their story. Sharing their story about how, hey, I grew up in church, but it just didn't take. But there was something. There was somebody praying for me. There was something going on with me, or this situation happened. You were sharing your testimony, and your testimony flowed from this resurrection power. So guess what? As I look out into this audience, I look at people who were brought up in the church. You had great parents that placed a high value on faith in God and placed a high value on going to church. And because of that, you learned at a very early age that Jesus Christ is the way. And you've been serving ever since a small little child. That's your testimony. Tell it. But as I look out in this audience, I see some people who didn't grow up with great parents, who didn't grow up with parents that took them to church, that taught them the values of faith in God. But even so, you're here today. That's your testimony. I see people in this audience who were victims of grave injustices. And while you may be haunted by the pain of the injustice you suffered, you keep holding on to God's love. That's your testimony. There are some people in here that because you were the recipient of unconditional love by a friend or a family member. Some of you grew up not knowing what love really is, but then someone showed that to you, showed what it really means to be loved and embraced and accepted. And through that love, you learned about God's love and God's grace. That's your testimony. Will you this morning be willing to share your testimony? You see, we might not have proof, but we have testimony. Paul writes this to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him, then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father. After he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power, for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. If we are in Christ, we will rise. Just as Christ has risen, we too have risen to life and will rise again. That might not be proof, but that's our testimony. Some people might not understand why people of faith deal with death the way that they deal with death. Some people don't understand why we deal with the things that we deal with in ways that sometimes it seems unconventional. It just doesn't seem right. You're going through some stuff. What are you smiling about? You're going through some stuff. How come you're not, you know, cowering in a corner? Because we believe that Jesus Christ is alive. We believe that he has arisen. And we also believe that we will rise. I ask the praise team to sing a song that is a reflection of that testimony. Listen to this song.
There's a peace I've come
Typically on Easter, churches all over the planet raise the roof in exuberant celebration because we declare more loudly today that Jesus Christ is alive. But let me caution. Don't let our shouts of praise be limited to this day or this week only. If the events of this day, the thoughts offered, the reflections that we have offered, the songs that we've sung, if that means anything to you. Church, live a life full of testimony. N.T. Wright the English theologian and minister, wrote, "The message of Easter is that God's new world has been unveiled in Jesus Christ, and that you are now invited to belong to it." And if we belong to it, as long as life is still called life on earth, church, my encouragement to this body, to you as an individual, is to spend time testifying about the inclusiveness of God's love and his grace, his kingdom, and that his invitation is for all who hear him to be with him and in him. And together we will rise. And together we will declare that he is alive. Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Church, say with me, hallelujah. The invitation to you this morning is to rise up with Jesus Christ. We believe that God has the power to pick you up, to cause you to rise out of your circumstance, out of mediocrity, out of poverty, out of sin. What better day to say, I want to rise with Jesus Christ, than the day we celebrate his resurrection? If you are in a place where you need God to reach down and pick you up, I want you to respond to this message by saying yes. I want you to grab his hand, and I want you to make Jesus Christ your Savior. And maybe through that, you want to make a public profession of faith in this Jesus who defeated death so that we would live. Make a public profession of faith. Perhaps this is the day that you say, I want to seal that commitment by being buried with Jesus Christ in baptism. Wouldn't that be a blessing, church? Amen. Maybe you need the saints of God to surround you, to pray for you, to touch you, to let you know that we love you, we care about you, and we want to see you rise. That's the invitation for you this morning. If there's a need that you have, as we're singing this song, if there's a need that you have, we'll ask that you just come forward here, and you will see and witness people prepared to come and minister to you through prayer, through conversation. It may be that you need a connection with someone to sit across a table drinking some coffee to share testimony. Church, what we did in class this morning is something we need to do more of, not because it's gimmicky or cool, because that's real life. You know, in the church, we need more R&R, not rest and relaxation, but resurrection and reality. And sometimes we need to come together and just be real about how the power of the resurrection has become our reality. So as we sing this song, In Christ Alone, as we stand, if there's a need on your heart that you need met by this body, we want to love and offer you this opportunity to come and share your life or give your life to Jesus Christ. Let's stand and let's sing.